left as man's holiest endeavor. Uniquely powerful and accurate, but almost completely silent. Like all air guns.
Air guns? You said you were afraid of air guns. Seems like a lifetime ago.
If that's all, gentlemen.
Yeah, one final thing. What charge do you intend to prefer?
What charge? Why, the attempted murder of Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
No, Lestrade. I didn't want to appear in the matter at all. To you, and only you, goes the credit for this remarkable arrest.
Holmes?
Yes, Watson. Yes, with his usual happy mixture of cunning and audacity. Lestrade has got him.
Got him? Got who?
The man the whole force has been seeking in vain. The murderer of the Honourable Ronald Adair.
Colonel Sebastian Moran. It's hard to believe.
Son of a cabinet minister, Eton Oxford, impeccable military career.
Impeccable? Outstanding, more like. Jawaki, Afghanistan, Cherasiab. When I was a boy, he was one of my heroes.
Well, what the devil went wrong with the man?
There are trees which grow to a certain height and then suddenly develop some unsightly eccentricity. You often see exactly the same thing in humans.
I'd hardly call turning to murder an unsightly eccentricity.
Ah, yes, the murder. Don't forget these, Lestrade.
Revolver bullets from a silent rifle. No wonder we were thrown completely off the scent.
Yes, there's genius in it.
Are you sure he was able to shoot young Adair from right across Park Lane? That window wasn't lifted more than a crack.
No, that was all he needed. And his own mastery gave him away. At last, he'd been panicked into a crime that I could trace straight to him and no one else. Only he had the ability, the means, and the motive.
Of what motive?
I can't see any reason for him to do it.
Ah, but I have one vital piece of information that you lack.
Go on.
The Colonel has one particular skill which you won't find mentioned in his memoirs. He's an expert card sharp. Lived off that for years. And I believe that young Adair caught him out and threatened to expose him. Well, that would have meant public ruin and the end of all his grand plans.
So Adair had to die.
Which he did, in the very act of absolving himself from his partner's crimes.
The list of names and figures. Adair was calculating how much he'd won illegally.
Planning to return it all. He really was, as honest as the day's long, just as Moran described him.
Well, I've met some cool ones in my time, but... Gentlemen, I must be getting back to the yard. It's been a pleasure to work with you again, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you, Lestrade. Somewhat to my surprise, I have to say that the pleasure's been mutual. Good night.
Good night, Inspector.
Gentlemen.
Holmes?
I'm just recalling the first time we stood here together.
Yes, a well-remembered door.
A scandal in Bohemia.
I thought you didn't bother with worthless rubbish.
Oh, that's quite right, quite right. Would you care to step in for a minute?
I'd be delighted.
Sir, as you told me.
I hope you were careful, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, yes, Doctor. Believe me.
Excellent. You carried the thing out very well.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Watson, Mrs. Hudson and I have one final surprise for you.
Holmes, after everything else that's happened today, General Gordon himself could be waiting behind that door to present me with a Victoria Cross, and I don't believe I'd bat an eyelid.
Oh? So you'll be equally phlegmatic about this, then, will you?
What the...
I don't believe it. Holmes, this is incredible.
Brother Mycroft's work.
And mine. Though if I'm being truthful, I thought it was more than a touch morbid.
Everything is exactly the same.
Not exactly the same.
Well, no, it's a good deal tidier than it used to be.
That won't last.
Oh, I'm sure it won't. This is amazing.
Well... If you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I have a good many things to see to.
Of course.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. It's a pleasure to be back.
Gentlemen.
Ah, look here. Yeah, this should convince Lestrade that the old hunter's eyes are as keen as ever, you see? Smack through the brain.
Oh, Holmes, please. It could easily have been you.
But it wasn't. Not this time. Ah.
Won't you sit down, my dear fellow?
Of course. Thank you.
Excellent. The picture is complete.
Yes, and if Mrs. Hudson's her usual efficient self... Yes, neatly within arm's reach. Here. For you. And...
Your very good health.
And yours.
I heard of your recent bereavement. My condolences.
Thank you.
You know work is the best antidote to sorrow.
Yes, I'm sure that's true.
Your practice. Absorbing, isn't it?
Hardly.
No. Done any writing lately?
No, not a word. No, inspiration.
You know your old room on the next floor? It's still vacant. Watson?
I was just thinking. In the old days...
the old days.
You would have sat there and said nothing. Even if it had taken me all night to come out with it and ask you.
Yes, I believe you're right.
You've changed, you know.
Dying will do that to a man. For the better?
Goodness only knows. I suppose I'll have to come back just to find out. Yeah, it really has been the most extraordinary day. Welcome back, Holmes.
Welcome back, Watson. To
the future.
The future.
In The Empty House, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Frederick Treves as Colonel Moran, Donald Gee as Inspector Lestrade, and Michael Pennington as Professor Moriarty. Mrs. Hudson was played by Joan Matheson, Sir John by Peter Penry Jones, the nurse by Kate Binchy, Mary Watson by Gilly Mears, Watson's maid by Cyril Jenkins, Murray by Steve Hodson, Adair by John Webb, Stamford by Keith Drinkle, The Coroner by John Church, and Woodley by John Fleming. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Empty House was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Patrick Rayner.
Alice Margaret Scott, blonde, 5'3", age 26.
Go on.
No.
Go on, Kitty. You're enjoying it.
Age 26, 17 times.
Go on to the next.
This is horrible.
By no means. We're having fun, you and I.
Caroline Marshall, dark, 5'2", age 14. 3 times unsatisfactory. No, I won't! Just take your book!
Get dressed. You have 15 minutes to get out of the house.
What? What do you mean?
Goodbye, Miss Winter.
Just like that? After all this time? Or what am I going to do? Where can I go?
I suggest you think of somewhere.
If you're still here when I return, I'll kill you.
The Illustrious Client by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Michael Feast as Baron Gruner, Ruth Gemmell as Violet de Merville, and Deborah Berlin as Kitty Winter. The Illustrious Client.
Give me the names.
Mr. Johnson.
The names, Mr. Corbett.
Harry Piercy. Vic Dobbs.
And?
I can't. Georgie Meadows.
Georgie Meadows. Well, you tell Georgie Meadows from me. When I spend 3 weeks setting up a job, I don't appreciate some festering amateur blundering in on it.
I'll tell him.
And while you're at it, you can tell him I'll be round for a cut. A good cut. Remember all that, can you?
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Make sure you do. Now, get out of my sight. Georgie Meadows. Yeah. How long you been hiding there? Well?
Not long.
How much do you hear?
Nothing, honest.
Come out where I can see you. Come on, into the light. No. Come here! Good God.
Don't hurt me.
Why not?
I'll be nice to you. Please don't hurt me. Please.
God save His Majesty the King.
Well, it's not bad.
Oh, come on. It's excellent.
It's highly extravagant. Shouldn't you be economizing?
Holmes, it is something of a special occasion.
Yes, I suppose so.
It is. I was beginning to think I wouldn't live to see a coronation. Ah, you must admit, it did seem as if she was going to last forever.
Nothing lasts forever, Watson.
Holmes, it's over a month since I moved out. I thought you got used to the idea by now.
I wasn't referring to your change of address, Doctor.
Nor was I. Holmes, I'm not you. I need a certain amount of normality in my life. Steadiness, order, a home.
A wife.
Yes, a wife. Perhaps a family. Do you really find that so hard to understand?
No. No, actually, I don't.
Well, if it isn't that that's brought this on, why are you in such a black mood?
I was thinking about change. It's a changing age, Watson. I don't like it.
Yes, I know what you mean. But you won't stop it by brooding about it.
Or in any other way.
True enough. So let's have another glass of this excellent brandy. And drink to the future.
Yes, to your happiness.
Thank you. And yours.
As you like.
Oh, it really is very good.
Well, you always did have the best of taste.
I like to think so. Holmes, you will be coming to the wedding, won't you? It means a lot to me. To both of us.
Have no fears, Watson. I shall be there next month with my confetti in my hand, wishing you well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell me, what does the future Mrs. Watson think of your colourful past?
I beg your pardon?
Well, come on, Watson. You can hardly pretend that you're an average example of the homely family doctor, new practice or no new practice.
No, I suppose not.
So?
Well...
She does know about your various extracurricular activities, I hope.
Of course she does. I do have a certain modest fame of my own, you know.
John Watson, the celebrated author and specialist in criminal fiction.
Hmm.
Yes. Has she read the stories?
Naturally.
And?
Holmes, she's not as adventurous as my poor Mary was. Jean's more the settled type.
Oh, indeed.
You'll have to accept that I'll have rather a lot on my plate at first. The new home, getting the practice established.
Of course.
I'm glad you understand.
Oh, yes, yes. Will you keep up the writing?
Of course. Even if you won't let me publish anything.
I've told you, when I retire.
Yes, I can just see it. Jean wheeling me round to the Strand in my bath chair, yellowing manuscripts in my gnarled old hands.
Not necessarily.
Holmes?
What do you make of this? It came by the first post.
You know, that would make a good title for one of your monographs.
What would?
On the art of changing the subject.
The letter, Watson.
What is it?
It may be some fussy, self-important fool. It may be a matter of life and death.
Really?
Here, judge for yourself.
Oh, Sir James Damery.
You know the man?
Only by reputation.
An arranger of delicate matters in society. Matters which must be kept out of the papers.
The Hammerford will case.
Very good, Watson.
A man of the world with a natural turn for diplomacy. Of the very greatest importance. Will you see him?
He's calling around at 4:30. Let's hope he does have some real need for our help.
Our help?
Well, assuming you don't have to rush off back to Queen Anne Street.
Oh, certainly not.
Oh. And what happened to the need for normality?
Oh, really, Holmes? Not all the time.
Oh, my dear Adalbert. This is wonderful. What a perfect day. This beautiful setting, this lovely weather. And you. I am so happy.
Of course you are, my dear. How could I possibly allow you to be anything else?
Dr. Watson, how do you do?
Sir James, if you would prefer me to leave.
By no means. Your collaboration may be very necessary.
Indeed.
Most certainly. Gentlemen, we're dealing with a man of great violence.
Take a seat, Sir James. Give us the facts.
Mr. Holmes, I'm speaking of an individual who will stick at nothing. I should say there's no more dangerous man in Europe.
That's been said of a good few of our opponents.
If your man is more dangerous than the late Professor Moriarty, then he'll certainly be worth meeting. His name?
Have you ever heard of Baron Gruner?
The Austrian murderer.
There's no getting past you, Mr. Holmes. Wonderful. So, you've already sized him up as a murderer.
I couldn't be more certain that he killed his wife if I'd watched him do it. We discussed it at the time, Watson.
Yes, I remember. The accident in the Splugen Pass. It never rang true.
And when you add the sudden death of the only witness and the enormous fortune that passed to the grieving widower, well, who could have any doubts?
Oh, indeed. If it hadn't been for the lack of any real proof,
I assure you that if I'd been there, ample proof would have been found.
I don't doubt it for a moment.
Is it this case that's come up again, Sir James?
No, Doctor. It's something more serious than that.
Sometimes I still can't believe it's going to happen.
Oh, it is. Is most certainly going to happen. You must believe it.
Do you know you have the most amazing eyes? Just 4 more weeks. And then I shall be the Baroness Gruner. Baron and Baroness Gruner. Perfect. I want to spend those weeks learning all about you. Every single thing.
My dearest, I shall take the greatest pleasure in telling you.
It's a terrible thing, gentlemen, to see a dreadful event preparing itself before your eyes and yet be utterly unable to prevent it. I'm sure that you sympathize with the client I represent.
The client? I didn't understand that you were merely an intermediary. Well, who is the principal?
Mr. Holmes, you must not press that question.
Indeed.
I must be able to assure him that his name will not be dragged into the matter.
Sir James, forgive me, but how can we be sure of his motives?
You have my word that they're entirely honourable.
Then why does he insist on secrecy?
Mr. Holmes, your fee will be assured, and you will be given a completely free hand. Surely the actual name of your client is immaterial.
No, I'm sorry. I'm accustomed to have mystery at one end of my cases, but to have it at both ends is too confusing. Good day, Sir James.
Mr. Holmes, you place me in a most serious dilemma. I'm perfectly certain that you would be proud to act if I could give you the name.
Then do so.
Out of the question. May I at least tell you as much as I can, give you the facts of the case?
I commit myself to nothing.
That is understood.
Then pray continue.
Thank you. I must begin by telling you that Gruner is presently living just outside London.
I was aware of it.
Mr. Holmes, I
have... Sir James, it is our business to follow the details of continental criminals.
Of course, forgive me. You've no doubt heard of General de Merville.
Of Khyber Pass fame.
Of course.
Of course. Well, he has a daughter, Violet de Merville. A lovely girl, young, beautiful, and rich.
Gruner has some hold over her.
The strongest of all holds.
She's in love with him.
And she proposes to marry him next month. It's this mockery of a marriage that my client wishes you to prevent.
You must know, my dearest, that a man in my position inevitably attracts a certain amount of envious gossip. I shall tell you of what has been said. I have led a somewhat stormy life. I shall lay my past before you. I have, in my youth, become entangled with designing women. I shall tell you their tales, and the tales of my repentance. And you shall listen, and you shall learn, and you shall forgive me, and love me the more.
I shall listen, and I shall learn.
And you shall forgive me,
and love you the more.
Splendid. Let us begin.
Gentlemen, to say that she loves him hardly expresses it. She is obsessed by him. Everything has been done to cure her of her madness, but in vain.
Is the girl of age?
She is, Doctor, and she has a will of iron.
Does she know about the Austrian episode?
Cunning devils told her every detail of his past life.
And she still loves him?
Evidently, Herr Baron's even more of a fictionalizer than you are.
Exactly, Mr. Holmes. He's made himself out to be an innocent martyr. She won't listen to any other version.
Can't we prove that he's lying?
There's nothing definite known against him. He's always been far too clever for that.
Scotland Yard can do nothing. Mr. Holmes, on my client's behalf, I beg you to accept this case. It means an enormous amount to him.
Your client is no doubt General de Merville.
The General? Oh, no, sir. This wretched business has left him a broken man. He's utterly demoralized.
One of our greatest soldiers, Holmes. There must be something we can do.
Mr. Holmes, I can tell you this much. The man I represent is an old friend of the General. He's taken a paternal interest in this young girl since she was a child. He cannot stand back and see this tragedy happen. It was his own suggestion that you should be called in.
Your problem interests me.
You'll take the case?
I'll look into it.
Thank you, sir. Here are some details which may help you. Doctor?
Thank you. I'll contact you as soon as I have some news.
Mr. Holmes.
Mr. James?
I've no doubt that you could easily trace my client back through me. I must ask you as a point of honour not to do so.
I think I may safely promise that.
Splendid, isn't it? A vase made for the Emperor Zhu Yuanzhang himself. The founder of the great Ming dynasty.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful and fragile and beyond price.
And you love it so much. I want to learn about Chinese pottery. I want to know everything you know.
Now that could take you a very long time.
I don't care. You take such pride in your possessions, I want to share in that part of your life.
Oh, you shall. Never doubt it. Excuse me, my dear. There. Even exposure to the air may be damaging.
How sad.
Sad?
That something so lovely could be so easily destroyed.
Any thoughts?
This groom has led an extraordinary life. There have been several public scandals.
As well as the man himself.
Expensive tastes. He collects things.
What sort of things?
Books, pictures.
Oh, an artistic side of his nature.
Yes, so it seems. Good Lord.
What?
He's a recognized authority on Chinese pottery. That seems to be his principal interest. He's written a book about it.
A complex mind. All great criminals have that. My old friend, Charlie Peace, was a violin virtuoso.
You really think this man's a great criminal?
Very likely. Now, I suspect that there's more to Baron Gruner than a simple wife murderer. Yes, considerably more.
Will you start by seeing the young lady?
No. No, this is a case that calls for the direct approach.
Fuck. I rather thought I should see you sooner or later.
Then I'm pleased not to have disappointed you.
You have been employed to stop my marriage to Miss Violet de Merville. That is so, is it not? My dear Mayor, you will only ruin your well-deserved reputation. I strongly advise you to draw off at once.
Curious. That was the very advice I intended to give to you.
Excuse my amusement, Mr. Holmes, but it really is funny to see you trying to play a hand with no cards in it. Oh, I don't think anyone could do it better, but it is rather pathetic all the same. Not a high card there, Mr. Holmes. Nothing but the smallest of the small.
So you think.
So I know. Let me make this thing clear to you. I have been fortunate enough to win the entire affection of this lady in spite of the fact that I told her very clearly of all the unhappy incidents in my past life. I also told her that certain wicked and designing persons, I hope you recognize yourself, would come to her and try to poison her mind against me. And I warned her how to treat them. You will be wasting your time, sir. I can tell you exactly what my fiancée's response will be.
I believe I'd prefer to hear the lady speak for herself.
Since you have been obliging enough to lay your cards on the table, I believe I shall do the same. Yes. Why not? Have you heard of post-hypnotic suggestion, Mr. Holmes? Ah, clearly you have. Well, visit Miss de Merville and you shall see how it works. A man of personality can use hypnotism without any vulgar passes or tomfoolery. She's ready for you, sir. Quite ready. Good day to you.
Listen to me, Baron. If you persist in this marriage, you will raise up a swarm of powerful enemies who will never leave you alone until they've made England too hot to hold you.
Not a high card there. Good day.
Good day.
Oh, by the way, did you know Lebrun, the French investigator?
Of course.
Do you know what befell him?
He was attacked in the Montmartre district and crippled for life.
Quite so. By a curious coincidence, he had been inquiring into my affairs only the week before. Don't do it, Mr. Holmes. It's not a lucky thing to do.
He's an excellent antagonist, Watson. He's breeding in him. A real aristocrat of crime.
He sounds dangerous.
Oh, extremely dangerous. Cool as ice and poisonous as a cobra.
Be careful, Holmes. Be careful. A man like that says rather less than he means.
Stop here, cabbie.
And where the devil are we?
We're as far from the elegant world of Baron Gruner as it's possible to be.
Yes, it looks it. Why, for goodness sake?
Because this is where the man's secrets are to be found. Down amid the black roots of crime.
Holmes, what in God's name are we doing here?
Waiting.
For what? To have our throats slit?
Shh.
My God, Holmes.
Now, easy, Watson. Don't do anything rash.
Stop your whispering. I want your wallets and your watches.
You dare!
No, Watson!
Come on!
It's all right. It's all right. I've checked. There's no one within earshot.
Oh. Right. Sorry about that, sir.
Only I can't be too careful.
What the devil?
Watson, say hello to Shinwell Johnson, my eyes and ears in this part of the world.
Your desserts, gentlemen.
Thank you. This looks splendid.
I thought this establishment would be more to your taste than Totter's Lane.
Is that what that vile alley was called? Yes, Holmes. Distinctly more to my taste, thank you. I particularly wanted you to meet Johnson. He's an interesting character. Could appeal to your avid readers.
Oh, thank you. Tell me about him.
Well, he used to be a very dangerous villain.
You amaze me.
Watson, sarcasm doesn't become you.
Then I'll leave it to you. Carry on.
He served two terms at Parkhurst. Then I recruited him a couple of years ago. Oh, he's been invaluable. That man has the entree of every doss house and gambling den in the city.
I take it the underworld doesn't know he works for you.
Oh, no, no. I keep his name out of the courts, and he's careful to cultivate a certain image.
Well, you can tell him from me that he's very good at it. If I'd had my revolver with me, I might have...
Really, Doctor, surely after all these years with me, you've learned not to judge by appearances.
Holmes, you might find this hard to understand, but there are times when logic tends to give way to emotion.
Quite right, I do find it hard to understand. How's your spotted dick?
Excellent, thank you. How's your apricot tart?
Could do with a touch more cinnamon.
So, you think Johnson will turn up anything we can use against Gruner?
Depend on it.
This is Kitty Winter. What she don't know, well, she'll speak for herself.
Excellent.
I've put me hand right on her, Mr. Holmes, not an hour after you left.
I'm easy to find. Hell, London gets me every time. We're old mates, Porky and me. He gave me some help once when I needed it bad.
Won't you sit down, Miss Winter?
Miss Winter. It's been a long time since I was spoke to that polite. Thank you, sir. I will.
You too, Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a nice room. You should see mine. But by Christ, Mr. Holmes, there's someone who should be down in a lower hell than me, and that's the man you're after.
So we have your good wishes, Miss Winter.
If I can help put him where he belongs, I'm yours to the rattle. Look at me, gentlemen. Go on. I'm used to it. You wouldn't think it now, but I used to be a decent woman. Senior assistant in the shop I was, and respected well enough. Well... what I am now, Gruner made me.
How so, Miss Winter?
Yeah, I was a fool. He promised me the world, that man. And what he gave me was dirt. He said he loved... love. I'm surprised he didn't choke when he said it. If this is my chance to pull him down, I'm not going to turn my back on it.
You know how the matter stands.
He's after some other poor fool, and you want to stop it?
Exactly.
She can't know what he's really like.
Well, she's been told all about him.
And she don't care. Any decent girl in her senses.
She's not in her senses. She's madly in love.
Yeah. Yes, he can do that. Has she been told about the murder?
Yes.
My lord, she must have a nerve.
She puts all the stories down as slanders.
Give her proofs.
Can you help us?
Ain't I proof myself? If I stood before her eyes and told her how he used me...
Would you do this?
Would I? Would I not?
Would it work, Mr. Holmes?
It must be worth trying.
Yes, it might work. Well, she's heard most of his sins from his own lips and forgiven him completely.
I'll wager he didn't tell her everything.
What do you mean?
Well, sir, I had the same treatment as this latest one. I had the looks and the speeches and that voice over and over. And I had the confessions too. And I did the same as she's done.
You forgave him, Kitty? What was you thinking of?
I couldn't think of anything, not straight. I was in love with him, same as she is.
And something happened to change that. What was it, Miss Winter?
He showed me his collection.
His collection? The pictures, the china?
The women.
The women?
He collects women like some men collect butterflies. He's got a book. A book with every woman he's ever had.
Their names?
Their lives, everything about them. Photographs, details, everything. It's a filthy book.
And he showed this book to you?
He'd been drinking, I think, or he never would have. He wanted me to read it to him while he...
Describe this book. What does it look like?
It's brown leather with a lock. It's got his coat of arms on it. in gold.
Yes, where does he keep it?
I don't know, not now.
You must know where.
Well, it's more than a year since I was there.
Well, where did he used to keep it?
I don't know.
Oh, think.
Easy.
Now, this is vital information. The more details we have, the better our chances of convincing Mr. Merville.
I'm sorry.
Miss Winter, had you ever seen the book before that occasion? Did you ever surprise him looking at it, or fetching it, or putting it away?
Think.
Well...
Come on, kiddie, love.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Do you know the house, Mr. Holmes?
I've been in the study.
Oh, you haven't been slow, have you? The main study with the French windows, or the private one that leads off it?
The main?
Well, I think it's in the private study that he keeps it. Locked up in his desk, I'm pretty sure.
You must be certain.
I am. I walked in on him once, like you said, he was just putting it back.
Excellent.
Well done, Miss Winter.
Sir?
Well, there you are, Mr. Holmes. If Kitty tells this woman about the book...
Yes, yes, perhaps. I'll see what can be arranged. Miss Winter, I'm exceedingly obliged to you. You really have been the most enormous help.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes, sir.
Miss Winter, what's the matter?
I'm sorry, gentlemen. It's just... I'm not used to this. It's like going back to a place I haven't seen in years. I've forgotten...
My client will reward you handsomely.
No, sir. None of that. Just let me see this man in the mud with my foot on his face. That's my price.
Well, sir, your name is familiar to me, as is your reputation.
I'm pleased to hear it, Mr. Merville. If it will lend my words any weight.
You've come to malign my fiancé. I warn you in advance that nothing you can say can possibly have the slightest effect. Well, sir...
I'm sorry for you, Mr. Merville.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not noted for my eloquence. I use my head, not my heart. But I beg you to consider what you're doing.
I know perfectly well what I'm doing.
Think of the awful position of the woman who only wakes to a man's true character after she has become his wife.
I am well aware of the Baron's character.
A woman who has to submit to being caressed by bloody hands and lecherous lips. Think of the shame, the agony. Please believe me. I couldn't plead with you more sincerely if you were my own daughter.
I think that is quite enough. I've listened to you with patience, Mr. Holmes. Possibly you mean well, though I know that you are a paid agent who would have been equally willing to act for the Baron as against him.
I assure you that that is...
I wish you to understand once and for all that I love Baron Gruner, and he loves me, and that the opinion of the world is no more to me than the twittering of these birds.
You fool!
Mr. Holmes, I agreed to receive you because my father requested it. I am not clear who this person may be.
I'll tell you who I am. I am one of 100 he's tempted and used and ruined and thrown on the rubbish heap. Oh, I was like you once.
I find that hard to believe.
And this is what your precious Baron did to me. I tell you, if you marry this man, he'll be the death of you. It may be a broken heart, or it may be a broken neck, but he'll have you one way or the other. You didn't have to see me home, sir.
It was the very least I could do.
You're a good man, Mr. Holmes.
And you are a good woman, Miss Winter.
What I am is a stupid fool. If I hadn't have lost my temper, she might have listened to me.
I don't think so.
No? I wish I could have told her about his book all the same.
She probably wouldn't have believed you.
Nah, maybe not. Mr. Holmes?
Yes?
You're wrong, you know. There's precious little goodness in me, not anymore. I don't care about her, not really. If she wants to throw her life away, let her do it. It's him I want to see brought down. Someone's got to get him, Mr. Holmes.
Believe me, Miss Winter. I'll do my best.
Be honest with me, sir. What are your chances?
They're not good.
I thought so. Thank you for not lying to me.
America?
Only for a short time.
But so soon. Surely you could put it off until after we're married. We could go together.
I'm sorry, my dear, but it's quite unavoidable. I shall be back just before the wedding.
Why must you go?
There are important financial matters that must be seen to at once.
Yes, but surely you could...
That is enough! I leave on Friday. The subject is closed.
Chocolate shoes, dear, in my homes.
Senario, Senario. Give me the loot.
Peggy, Effendi.
Holmes, Holmes?
Huh? What?
Mrs. Hudson told me you were here.
Watson, this heat will ruin your suit. Bear the kicker. Dura, I must not look them. Busy young is better care of business.
That'll be offending.
Watson, what on earth could be this urgent?
This could. Huh? It's the latest edition, just on the streets. There, you see? Well-known society figure.
Baron Adalbert Gruner sails this Friday for New York.
And he's due to return the day before the wedding. You must have rattled him more than he let on.
So it seems. And now he's trying to escape us. But he won't, Watson. By the Lord Harry, he won't.
If you have business with me, gentlemen, have the decency to step out of the shadows and look me in the face. Yes. Yes, that's much more civilized. Your employer would be proud. Now, is it to be one at a time, or both together?
Holmes. Holmes, can you hear me?
Watson.
I came as soon as I heard. It's in the evening papers.
God.
That damned Austrian. Give me the word and I'll go and thrash the hide off him.
Good old Watson. That's not the way.
Don't try to talk.
I must. It's important. Get hold of Johnson. Tell him.
What? Tell him what?
He must get the girl out of the way. They'll be after her. Tell him today.
I'll go now. Anything else?
Yes, two things. Listen carefully. We don't have much time.
Is it true that you know he's responsible, Dr. Watson?
I can't answer that, Mr...
Newell, sir, the standard.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Newell, but I can't say anything that might affect the police investigation. I'm sure you understand.
Was Mr. Holmes working on a case, Doctor?
Gentlemen, I can only comment on Mr. Holmes' medical condition.
And that is?
Not good. The wounds to the head are extremely severe.
Are you saying there's a possibility of brain damage?
It can't be ruled out of the question. Erysipelas has set in.
Is that serious?
I'm afraid it can be extremely serious.
Ah, that poor man. Yes, Carl.
Dr. Hill Barton is here, Baron.
Ah, yes, Dr. Barton. Good, show him in.
Sir. This way, please, Doctor.
Pray, sit down, Dr. Barton. I read your note with interest. Genuine Ming sauces so rarely come up for sale. May I see the specimen?
By all means, Baron. Here you are.
Kitty! Come on, love. You must be ready by now. I'm dying of thirst, even if you're not. Must be all this fresh air. I always said it was bad for you. Well, come on, then.
Very fine. Very fine indeed.
I knew you'd think so.
And you say you have a set of six to correspond.
That's correct.
A complete set. What puzzles me is that I should not have heard of such magnificent specimens. I only know of one set in England to match this, and that one is certainly not on the market. What price are you asking?
I'd be perfectly happy for you to obtain an independent valuation.
Ah.
Christie's, Sotheby's, whatever you wish.
That is most generous of you. Would it be indiscreet if I were to ask you how you obtained this?
Does it really matter? You can see that the piece is genuine.
Things grow more mysterious. That it is genuine, I'm quite certain. But in dealing with objects of this value, one naturally wishes to have all the details. I should have expected you to know that.
My dear Baron, you can do business or not. I've given you first refusal, but I'll have no difficulty in other quarters.
Why exactly did you come to me?
I understood you were a connoisseur.
And who gave you this understanding?
I'm aware that you've written a book on the subject.
Have you read the book?
No.
Dear me. You describe yourself as a connoisseur and a collector. You have this valuable piece in your collection, and yet you'd never trouble to consult the one book which would have told you the real meaning and value of what you held. How do you explain that?
I'm a very busy man. I'm a doctor in practice.
That's no answer. If a man has a hobby, he follows it up, whatever his other pursuits may be. So, you are a connoisseur.
Yes, I am.
Indeed. What do you know of the Emperor Shomu? Tell me a little of the Northern Wei dynasty.
This is intolerable, sir. I came here to do you a favor, not to be examined as if I were a schoolboy.
You are here as a spy, an emissary of Holmes. The man is dying, so he sends his assistant to keep watch on me.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Be silent! Or your next words will be your last, Dr. John Watson.
Drop the gun, Gruner!
Holmes!
Well, well, two trespassers, two criminals, and the law will be entirely on my side.
Devin! Devin, no!
This is from me, and all the others like me!
Those screams. I don't think I'll ever get the sound out of my head. I couldn't do a thing.
Will he live?
Yes, he will.
But he'll be disfigured for life and very possibly blind.
Concentrated sulfuric acid. If I'd had my bag with me...
You rang for help and you sent for his own doctor. What more could you do?
Nothing. Nothing.
The wages of sin, Watson. God knows there was sin enough. If this diary of lust doesn't break off the marriage, nothing will, Sir James.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Holmes is quite right. When Mr. Merville sees what's in those pages...
If it's as horrible as you say, I'm loath to show it to her. Surely, if Gruner is as scarred as you describe, the marriage is thwarted anyway.
I'm afraid not. She'd love him the more as a disfigured martyr.
It's the book or nothing. It'll bring her back to earth. It's in his own hand. She can't get round it.
Well... Gentlemen, I owe you my thanks, and those of my client. You may leave the matter of the criminal charges to him.
They surely can't be hushed up completely.
No, Doctor. But neither Mr. Holmes nor Miss Winter need be unduly worried, I think.
Thank you.
Now I must go. The Ming saucer, Mr. Holmes?
Hmm? Oh, here. Please thank your client for the loan.
Yes, indeed. Worth a king's ransom, Sir Holmes said.
Right then, gentlemen.
Oh, allow me, Sir James.
Good day to you both.
Good day.
Good day, Sir James. Holmes, you shall be in bed. You may not really have been at death's door, but that doesn't mean you're completely well.
Don't fuss, Watson.
Don't fuss. Don't fuss. For pity's sake, why couldn't you have told me what you were really up to? I thought the plan was just to keep Grummer in the country a few days longer. I nearly died of shock when you appeared in that doorway.
And so did I when Kitty Winter turned up.
I should have expected it. All the signs were there. What's happened to my brain?
It was damn near beaten to a pulp by Grummer's thugs, remember? Don't change the subject.
Very well. I'm sorry if I took you by surprise. Would you have preferred me to let him shoot you?
No, of course not. I haven't even had the grace to thank you, have I? I'm sorry.
Well, you've had other things on your mind.
I came close to ruining the whole thing.
Oh, nonsense. You kept him admirably distracted while I did my spot of burglary. Oh, you did a first-class job.
Well, I'm glad one of us thinks so. Thank you.
Now, I had to break in on you like that. How could I have done anything else?
Oh, my dear chap.
The thought of your fiancée storming round here howling for my blood was more than I could stand.
I'm sure she'll be delighted to hear it. There he goes. I suppose I won't be able to write this one up for a good few years. Pity. It's quite a story. You know, that's a handsome carriage waiting for Sir James.
Probably belongs to our illustrious client.
Oh, do you think so? There's a crest on the side. But I can't quite make it out. The footman's standing in the way.
Watson, come away from the window.
Oh, really, Holmes? What can it matter now? Ah, he's moving. Oh, my God.
Doctor?
I know who it is. I couldn't mistake that crest.
Holmes, we've been working for...
A loyal friend and a chivalrous gentleman. Let that be enough for us. Now and forever.
In The Illustrious Client, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. With Michael Feast as Baron Gruner, Ruth Gemmell as Violet de Merville, and Deborah Berlin as Kitty Winter. Sir James was played by James Taylor, Corbett by Malcolm Ward, and Johnson by Neville Jason. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Illustrious Client was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Patrick Rayner.
Ladies and gentlemen, 50 feet of rope, 20 feet of steel chain, sealed bandages over the eyes, ears, mouth, and other natural orifices. Would anyone care to examine the restraints?
Of course not.
Colonel?
No, not necessary, thank you.
As you wish. Are you quite comfortable, my dear? Then I shall conceal you from view. And we can begin. Friends, let us pray.
The Madness of Colonel Warburton by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Timothy West as Colonel Warburton, Eleanor Bronn as Mrs. Bessemer, and Struan Roger as Mr. Bessemer. The Madness of Colonel Warburton.
Welcome home, welcome home, welcome home.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Now, you had a bad journey. The train was late. No, the train wasn't late. You had trouble getting a cab.
Oh, not now, ma'am.
Yes, it's trouble with the cab.
Holmes.
And then you had to wait in line behind three other men. Then you had to lift your own suitcase on board. Three other men, that's dreadful.
Holmes, show me your arm.
And then lecture me, Doctor. I'm in too good a mood.
You're far too good. Come here. Now.
I'm cutting down.
Are you indeed?
5% solution. It's better than 7, surely. I thought you'd be pleased.
So, my dear, how is everything?
Now, James, I've already told you, stop fussing. It couldn't be nicer.
There's plenty to occupy you, then.
Well, I'm never bored, if that's what you mean. There are so many people to talk to, and there's always someone who needs my help.
Now, don't you go squandering your time on every lame dog, Elizabeth. I know what you're like.
Oh, squandering my time? Don't be foolish, James.
Oh, right, I suppose that's not really an issue.
No, not really.
Pleased? Good God! Oh, what's the use? You've heard it all before.
Well, that's true enough. Just as you've heard my reasons.
Holmes, just because you don't have any work, you don't have to poison yourself with that filthy stuff.
Yes, I do. My work is my oxygen. Take it away and I suffocate. I'm only alive and my brain has something to do.
And you're seriously telling me that cocaine supplies that?
If only I could make you see.
The clarity, the insight, the understanding. Without it, I can't live in your empty, everyday world, Doctor. It's like a prison.
Wasn't there anything while I was away?
Nothing of any interest. Sorry, Watson.
Oh, here. I brought up the post. There might be something.
Let's see. Nothing. No social invitation. Bill. Nothing.
Oh, what have you got?
Posted late last night in central London, but the writer lives out of town. A young man, well-educated, with firm opinions on the matters important but not urgent, because...
Because if it were, he would have sent a telegram.
Bravo, Watson, bravo.
Well?
Well, what?
It's something important.
Oh, yes.
Then it could be a case.
It certainly could.
Well, then, for the love of heaven, open it.
I can't do that.
Why not, for pity's sake?
It's addressed to you.
Oh...
Here.
Thank you. Oh, it's from Michael Warburton.
A friend?
Son of a friend. Well...
An acquaintance?
Yeah, my old CEO from the Berkshires, Colonel James Warburton. Retired now. This is about him.
Something's wrong.
So, everything's looking good then?
Good. Good doesn't begin to describe it, my dear. It's simply beautiful, James. Heaven is simply beautiful.
Yes. Yes, I think you could say that something's wrong.
So, Mr. Warburton.
Lieutenant Warburton, Mr. Holmes. I followed my father into the regiment.
Very good. Now the facts, if you please.
But surely you've seen my letter?
If you please.
Very well. My father is Colonel James Warburton. He's a soldier of great distinction, a man of intelligence and honour, and the holder of the Victoria Cross. He is also absolutely convinced that his late wife, my mother, is communicating with him from beyond the grave.
A man's beliefs are his own affair, surely.
Not if they affect the lives of other people, Mr. Holmes. On the advice of my dead mother, he...
Go on, Lieutenant.
On the advice of my dead mother, gentlemen, the old man's planning to give away everything he owns.
To the regiment? Or to some charity?
No, Doctor, not to a charity. He's giving the whole lot to the couple who bring him the messages from his wife.
Of course, I'm sure it's her. I ought to know my own wife, man.
Yes, of course.
Besides, some of the things she says, no one else could possibly know them. Everyone here says the same thing.
Yes, I know. But even so, I mean, it goes against all reason.
You still have doubts, Sir Robert?
Mrs. Bessemer.
You still have doubts, but you were open-minded enough to come.
The colonel here was very persuasive.
We meet again on Saturday, Sir Robert. Come with an open mind and a clear heart... And there could well be a message for you.
For me?
We all have friends in the land of mist, Sir Robert. Companions, colleagues, loved ones. Will you come?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Does your mother actually appear at these seances?
My mother is dead, sir.
Well, then does someone purporting to be your mother appear?
No. As I understand it, there's just a voice in the darkness.
Who is the medium?
Her name is Mrs. Bessemer. It's her husband who runs things, that's all I know.
And you desire me to demonstrate to the Colonel that these Bessemers are frauds and the message is fake?
Exactly so.
Do you have any proof?
Proof? I don't need proof. Good God, surely you're not suggesting that this business could be genuine.
I have no data. Until I do, I prefer to keep an open mind.
An open mind?
The scientific approach, it's my way.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Holmes.
Well, sir, it may be your way, but it isn't mine. Look... My father is besotted with the Bessemers. He insists on singing their praises to anyone who'll listen. His old friends, my friends. Dr. Watson, you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I'm afraid I do. The Colonel is making himself a laughingstock.
Exactly.
And you with him?
I'm not denied. But it's him I'm thinking of. His reputation, his good name. And beyond that, the honour of the regiment itself is at stake. I can't just stand by and let it happen.
I see.
So if you can't help me, Mr. Holmes, I'll find someone else to snap him out of this insanity.
Insanity? You think the Colonel's actually lost his mind?
I wish I did think that.
What do you mean?
If he were mad, certifiably mad, then he couldn't be held responsible for his actions.
And if there's no accountability, there's no shame.